I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is one thing I really want to emphasize. You don't really see this feminine energy thing outside of the context of romance, right? Yeah. No one talks about having feminine energy in the workplace.
Yeah.
No one talks about having feminine energy in your wider, broader community. It's always about romantic dynamics, right? And when you're appealing to that, everything becomes about satisfying the male gaze.
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online big sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are going to be talking about femininity. What does it mean to be feminine? You've probably seen the videos on how to channel your feminine energy, but we want to discuss what femininity actually means, looks like, and if or how it's changing. So femininity, channeling your feminine energy. I find it so interesting. Like, I get so many of the videos that pop up on YouTube. Like,
I've blocked them.
How do? Not interested. Don't show me any more videos like them. This. I just find it so interesting when I get them on my, you know, suggestions, like how to be more feminine, how to attract a guy, and, you know, five tips to be a more feminine woman. And I just think to myself, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
But that may be our bias. So let's try and be a bit, you know, here on the TMS podcast, we like to keep it real, but we also like to, you know, try and understand both sides of the coin. So Renee.
Yes, ma'am.
This may be a bit of a setup question.
Yeah.
But I feel like I kind of know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I think you do as well.
What does it mean to be feminine?
Whatever you want it to mean, baby girl. That's it. You know, I think, what does it mean to be feminine? As you said, and we'll go into that a little bit more, because I have a personal problem with all of them little femininity videos and how to get a guy, like, leaning into your feminine disposition and energy. I was sucked into that for the longest time.
Really?
And then I was like, I just don't, to be quite blunt, we haven't even talked about it and we haven't even led into it, but you know, TMS, we're transparent. Why am I doing the most for men that don't clean behind their ears?
Not the hygiene.
Why not, am
not
I
this early in the podcast? So why? Soon?
We're like 2 minutes in. I was going to bring this up later. Work up into it. Why are we doing the most? Let me park it here and let me talk about femininity and then I'll segue into it. So femininity, technically, the like actual definition of femininity, it is a social, one part social construct or one part biological construct, and they feed into each other, right? So this whole idea of what are the essential qualities or attributes of a woman or a female in the traditional sense, the cis sense of the word. And femininity, because it is part social construct and part biological construct that has been filtered through social like construction, femininity is one of those annoying and wicked things that always changes as the time changes too. So really, we're always going to be in this dilemma of what does it mean to be feminine, because these factors are determined by things that are not unchanging. They're always changing. You know, to be feminine in the 16th century versus to be feminine in the 21st century are two very different things.
Do you think so?
Well, I think there are some essentialisms that run through all of them. But I think that there are a few like stark differences that I think we're starting to come into a little bit more. So even this whole idea of domesticity, that is probably one of the clearest signs of we're moving a little bit away from what it means to be a female. And I think it's also important to look at who are the people that decide what is feminine. Too. So for a very long time, femininity was always defined, and to an extent it really still is, defined in close proximity to masculinity, which is, you know, the norm, the dominant, whatever. Mm. And it was predominantly men that described what women should be like.
Mm.
Even in kind of like essential texts, when it came to like leadership and authority and stuff like that, they were the ones that were saying, okay, women should do X, Y, Z. Women should be like X, Y, Z.
Mm.
And it was often as a contrast to what was established masculinity at the time.
Mm.
So again, domesticity is probably the clearest sign of this, where you have a lot of men who are supposedly seen to be, you know, in more public facing roles.
Yeah.
They tend to be outside of the home. They tend to be the main breadwinner. And hashtag, you know what I'm going to say, patriarchy. Patriarchy.
Wow.
Patriarchy played a major role in defining both femininity and masculinity. Mm. And for a really long time, femininity was dictated by these kinds of things.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely still some essentialisms that can run through the ages, right? So you've still got this whole idea of women being a little bit softer,
right,
or being more dainty, or being more nurturing, weaker. And I think, you know what, the weakness thing, I had to come to terms with that. Because, Kuni, you know me, I'm a fighter.
Yeah,
like, I love to challenge.
Proper.
And I'm always challenging, like, my male friends as well, because I lift weights. And I'm like, I'm strong.
Yeah.
But I actually looked at it, and biologically, men are stronger 100%. Than women. And that's, I've come to terms with it. Like, I can't be out here breaking my wrist, doing up arm wrestling with the guys anymore. But yeah, they have as much as like 52% more muscle in their upper body and 62 in their lower bodies. Wow. Don't quote me on that, but those were the rough figures that I saw the last time I checked. So yeah, there are some biological base, there's like biological basis to differences between the genders, or rather the sexes, and I mean this biologically and not socially,
right?
But yeah, for me, what does femininity mean now? This is, as you said, the cliche answer. You already knew I was going to say it. It's what I want it to be. And whether that encompasses some of the essentialisms that we've had throughout the ages, whether that encompasses some of the social construct that exists right now, that's cool.
Right.
But for me, femininity is about, how do I want to be perceived as a woman, dictated by myself? How much of these external components am I going to take and incorporate into my idea of womanhood and what it means to be a woman as Renee?
Right.
And I think it's important to make that distinction, because one of the biggest issues that I've had with those kind of videos that always crop up, or like those documents and blogs on how to be more feminine and stuff like that, is it's always, well, majority of the time, a lot of these things are done in reference to masculinity, in reference to men and how to please men.
Right.
And that power dynamic just doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
I did a whole test on like, okay, cool, let me see the videos for men. Like, demand them out there. Do you guys sit down and watch, you know, how to be a masculine man and how to, you know, find women and stuff like that? It's not quite phrased in the same way.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it has the same... they don't have the same things as we do. Like, I literally sat on YouTube and I was trying to find the male counterparts of like what I would, like those kind of things that we were recommended, right? And a lot of it was, first of all, really problematic, to the point where I don't believe that any man would actually sit. And if you do, shame on you. I don't believe any man would sit and watch these kind of things, which is like, oh, you need to be, it just felt like what, like, it would feel like you're a caveman watching some of these things that are like, you know, to be a masculine man, you have to abuse women and all that kind
of stuff.
Like, it's very extreme.
Okay.
So for me, I was just like, no, I don't think any man that I would know and respect would take, like, spend some time watching these videos. Whereas with women, a lot of women spend a lot of time watching these videos. They spend a lot of time reading these blogs. They spend a lot of time investing in, you know, becoming more feminine. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing, but it's more so, remember that the femininity that you subscribe to needs to be determined by you, and be aware of how much of an externalisms you're taking in to feed into that femininity, and also analyze the reasons why you want to be feminine,
I
suppose.
Right.
Because a lot of what we do as women, and this is not to generalize because obviously we're different, but a lot of the things that we do and that are catered towards us are catering towards men.
Right.
So yeah, but I'm intrigued to hear your thoughts.
I think it's interesting. I think you touched on some really important points of what does it mean to be a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, women, we exist, but to be a woman exists in contrast to what does it mean to be a man. In looking at it, because I've really had to come to terms with certain things, especially like what you're saying about the essentialisms.
Mm.
I think there are some things that women tend to do more of or do less of than mm-hmm. men, and I think those things are biologically determined, like you said about the strength thing. And I think with femininity you need to be careful sometimes, and even with categorizing what does it mean to be a woman, because there's that individual level, because you could meet a guy who you are stronger than, right?
Oh,
but
sure.
Then there's the general, which is, but generally they're stronger,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that femininity conversations often hover around the generalisms.
Mm.
And I think, like you were saying, you have to be careful of how much of that you then individually internalize to dictate about yourself. So looking at yourself less of, like you said, I'm a woman, I must fit into this woman category so perfectly and within all its definitions, or I could just be myself and I should focus on being myself.
Mm.
I think one of the bigger issues I have with femininity sometimes is, well, not even sometimes, just plain blank period, is femininity. And even if we look at feminism and its early origins, it often has not encompassed what it means to be a woman across all cultures.
Mm.
I think we have greatly internalized Western ideas of femininity, in terms of, you know, being dainty, being weak, being and not weak in the negative sense, but weak in the, you know, I need a man to assist me, or, you know,
being a damsel in distress,
exactly, being a damsel in distress, giving a man a position to be a man, and things like that. But I think across cultures, across races, across ethnicity groups, across tribes and all these different things, all across history, you can see different definitions of what it means to be a man and to be a woman. And so I think when we see these videos, sometimes it can be problematic because it ostracizes people who do not fit perfectly into a category, which they may not have been taught or raised in a culture that defined femininity as that. When we talk about essential femininity and femininity that's kind of innate to women biologically and stuff, I think it's very few and far between, because you can meet people who aren't nurturing, for example, who aren't very dainty and quiet. You know, you watch some of these videos and they're like, they really emphasize the daintiness, you know, oh, don't go out there and be too loud. Keep your nail. I remember I sat through a whole video. She was like, yeah, I don't keep my nail. And also they can be very racist. Let's just put that flat out. This girl was out here talking about, and this is what I mean about the culture things.
Yeah.
The things that certain cultures celebrate and are a part of their identity. Like, oh, why would you have long acrylic nails? Why would you have super colorful hair?
Well, why not?
You know, exactly. And so a lot of times you get, and even when you hear men talk about, especially in certain subgroups, right, in subcultures, you can hear men talk about the sort of women that they want and the women that deserve respect, right? The women that deserve to be treated, the women that deserve to be treated well.
And this is coming from, I don't know if you've seen that trend of high value men speaking on
well, right? A lot of it is hugely rooted in misogyny and feeling as though a woman can deserve to be disrespected. Because I remember I saw you know, somebody was commenting on the Buss It challenge, right? You know, there's this trend on social media where people, you know, basically dance to this song called Buss It, and they kind of give us a drop down and transform and give us a bit of a twerk, right? And it's quite sexual and it's dancing nature. And I've seen a lot of, I saw somebody was asking, you know, men, what do you think about this? You know, all of this. Well, she was asking, right? All of this sexual content, like, how does that make you feel? And, you know, somebody's response, a guy's response was, you know, these women will go on the internet and do that and then wonder why men don't respect them.
What?
And my question has always been like, and I think the question of anyone who's listening to that, exactly, like, what has that got to do with anything?
Mm.
I think people use femininity and that category and say, if you don't fit into this, you don't deserve to be respected. Mm-hmm. And you hear people when they talk about their preferences for a woman, and it's like, I want her to be super feminine. And the people that don't fit into their definition of femininity, it's not just that they're not attracted to them. They literally degrade them as women and their belonging in that category. And I think that that's absolute nonsense. Like, you should not dictate to somebody what it is they should be, what it is they should look like, especially when it's rooted in misogyny, racism, colorism. You know, people will say things like, I want your hair to be always neat. What does neat hair look like? Why would you have super long nails? Well, for some people in certain cultures, especially in African-American culture, like back in the 90s, having acrylic nails was a celebration of talent and beauty. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to talk a certain way. I don't want you to have, you know, to speak slang, or I don't want you to use Ebonics. It's like, just come out and say you don't like black women. That's it. Just say it loud. Do you get what I mean? Just come out and say you don't like women who are more sexually liberated than others. Just say that. Then rather than defining womanhood as this perfect square box definition that people should fit into.
Oh my goodness. And the people at the back, they let out a great hallelujah and crazy. Amen. It's yes, crazy. Yes, yes. And even more so is when, like, what frustrates me, all of that annoys me, but what frustrates me the most is when we then, because this is not even just about femininity, this is about a power dynamic, right? Where a lot of people, both men and some women, feel like they have the right to dictate those categories. Right. They have the right to dictate what, who goes where, what fits what, who is deserving of their respect, as if their respect is some kind of grand prize.
Yeah.
But when we do the reverse, right? So the reverse is the equivalent of, if we're talking about Western patriarchy specifically, defining masculinity, the provider. When women start talking about their preference on not having a broke guy or having a guy that's able to actually provide for them, all of a sudden she's a gold digger. No, she isn't, G. She's just playing the same game that you're playing. Because if, I just don't understand why people feel they the gall, the cheek to vocalize such head ass preferences.
Whoa.
Sorry, I'm getting, as you can see, I'm getting in my bag with this one. Such head ass preferences, and then be absolutely flabbergasted when somebody does the same to them. Yeah. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
But that's the thing, like you're saying, it's a power dynamic, right? Crazy. Because like we talked about in our When Will You Marry episode, oftentimes men are the prize. For example, in those, but that's how things are framed in society, right? Mad. And we'll get onto the other side of this argument, because I do think that there are some places for, there is a place for quote unquote feminine energy.
Yeah.
But I think that oftentimes men are painted as the prize. For example, in those masculinity videos, the aim isn't necessarily, well, to be honest, it's a part of toxic masculinity, you know, to have a woman who, or to be able to get a woman, to be able to not overpower her in a sense, but, you know, to be able to brag about her to your friends. You know, a woman is a trophy, right? But she's not a prize, for example. I feel like a woman is your, with women, sorry, I feel like oftentimes we're seen as, you're not, are you worthy enough? Well, to be honest, for both genders, right? You get this thing of like, your masculinity has the seal of approval when a woman wants you. Your womanhood has a seal of approval once a man wants you. Right? And all of these femininity videos and this feminine edgy stuff, oftentimes the aim is to find a man.
Yeah.
That's 100%. It. How do you attract men? And it's seen as feminine energy exists to attract men. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. For me, femininity and equally masculinity, to be man and woman, not in the way the world has described it, both are just expressions of the divine. That's the only time I really see the differences. In terms of, you know, if you really want to get a big, and this is obviously being from a faith, coming from a faith perspective and being a Christian, if you want to understand the nature of God, you have to look at elements of femininity and elements of masculinity. But I feel like women can often be so demonized and so punished for showing masculine traits, because it's seen as those qualities such as strength, being powerful, being assertive, being extremely confident, are reserved for people with a penis.
Screaming.
That's it.
Screaming. What you were saying about trophy, in my mind, I was just thinking, to be a man is the pursuit of a trophy, and to be a woman is the attempt to keep it.
Mm.
And that when we talk about masculinity, it's all about the chase, right? How many women can you get? Like, yeah, how many people are attracted to you? All that kind of stuff. Whereas for women, it's all about, oh, if you want to keep a man, these are the things that you need to do to stop his eyes from, you know, wandering elsewhere and all that kind of stuff. So I love the analogy of like the trophy versus the prize.
Mm.
Because, yeah, it's really tight out here. And it was also interesting what you were saying about the expression of the different energies. Mm. I think femininity and masculinity are like funny things in our context, like the Western perspective, because it feels like we take like some human qualities and say that's a woman. We take some human qualities and say that's a man.
Mm.
And because we have done that, when somebody transgresses those boundaries, it's kind of like, well, what do I do? And I think that's just, to be super existential, like, that's the problem of humanity, is that oftentimes we want to, the way that we understand things is through categorization.
Mm.
And because of that, when people do transgress those categories, they become, like, the order is completely shaken. Not as ridiculous as that is, because categories are predetermined by, so like, society and culture. Yeah. So that is just, like, mad crazy to me. And I love what you were saying about masculine energy and feminine energy being an expression of the divine, because that is that.
Yeah.
And I think we need to have more flexibility and leeway when it comes to allowing people to come into the fullness of these energies. And I think we also need to be honest with ourselves as well when we are, I guess, like when we profess to be one thing, but we're actually looking for the other. So a lot of us will say, you know, and we've had this conversation many times, right? Where we say, oh, what are you looking for in a man?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, I want somebody that's like, you know, provider.
Yeah.
Or like somebody that's like, you know, super masculine in the traditional sense of the word.
Yeah.
But then we'll now complain when...
And this is the balance to the argument, right?
We'll complain when, you know, we people. Have both, and we've spoken about this in our independent woman episode, right? This whole idea of like, I'm an independent woman, like I'm dominating and all that kind of good stuff. But then when we do what we want in a partner, we also have like both of, but we're not quite accepting of having both of those elements and traits within a man as well.
Definitely.
So to what extent do we allow men to also have feminine, traditionally feminine energy? And again, what you were saying about the fact that it's not a culturally inclusive term sometimes, because in lots of different places outside of the West, there are matriarchies, you know, there are places
100%.
Where women are, they run things.
100%.
And that's, femininity is what is the equivalent of masculinity in a place like, you know, the UK, America, the West in general. And it's interesting because, I don't even want to get into, you know, imperialism, colonialism and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of these like ideas around femininity and masculinity are Western imports.
Yep.
There are a lot of places in Africa, in parts of Asia that had matriarchies.
Yeah.
And because, you know, settlers and colonial forerunners really thought that what they were seeing was, you know, crazy. That became one of the ways in which, you know, something that we call cultural colonialism or cultural imperialism started, where there was this transmission and dominant culture became Western ideas around femininity and masculinity. So I think all of that is like super, super interesting.
But you even see it in the, in access, right? In terms of class, because even when you look at these videos about femininity, it comes, it is sometimes surrounding a lot of materialistic things, as well as being, you know, culturally exclusive. It can be very classist, you know?
100.
And I think that that's one of the biggest challenges about the superficial definitions of what masculinity and femininity is. But I kind of want to backpedal into what you were talking about masculinity, because I do think it's very interesting. I was having this conversation with another friend about, you know, like exactly what you were saying, whilst we can resist ideas of femininity, we find it very easy to accept ideas of masculinity, 100. Which are both equally set by the same systems of patriarchy. Mm-hmm. This is one thing I really want to emphasize. You don't really see this feminine energy thing mm-hmm. outside of the context of romance. Right. Yeah. No one talks about having feminine energy in the workplace.
Yeah.
No one talks about having feminine energy in your wider, broader community. It's always about romantic dynamics. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you're appealing to that, everything becomes about satisfying the male gaze. And that's why it's dangerous for me, because whilst you can have a preference for your, you know, your romantic partner, it doesn't. Women don't simply exist to be romantic partners. Mm. So when your focus just becomes about channeling this feminine energy in every context you're in, just in case a man is watching you, it becomes dangerous, because that is not the fullness of who you are as a person. And I think yeah. one thing that I genuinely want to fight, whilst I do have the desire to get married, I think the issue is constantly having in your mind that, oh, my husband could be anywhere, let me act right, so that, do you get what I mean? And it's like, sis, be yourself. And number two, not every context you exist in is romantic, and so you channeling this female energy by these rigid, you know, five tips that you got on YouTube, why are you doing that? I know some people who, like, they won't be outside and pick up a chair, or like stack chairs, or pick up heavy equipment, or do stuff. And it's just like, oh, you know, I'm being feminine. Feminine people don't do this. You're, and it's just lazy. Like, but who are you satisfying here? Just because there's guys here, you don't have to satisfy the male gaze in a romantic sense mm-hmm. in every second of the day, just because male people are present. Do you get what
my
I mean?
My husband could be here. Do you get what I mean? My future husband could be here.
Stop it. Just stop. Just no, because there's nothing that annoys me more. And I think that's what puts the pressure sometimes for people to fall into these traps and these tropes of, this is what it means to be masculine, this is what it means to be feminine. And yeah. you become hyper masculine and hyper feminine
yeah.
to the point where it becomes toxic.
Oh my gosh, hold on a second, guys. My future husband could be here. Let me just switch on that feminine energy and put down the chair I was stacking.
Isn't it sickening?
Doesn't it sound stupid?
That's what I mean. Like, that's why we end up in situations like toxic masculinity and toxic femininity.
And you end up going out with people that you don't like and 100%. Don't like you.
100%. And you end up faking it. I feel like the issue is, don't do things to just impress. Can I say, yeah, don't do things with the sole intention to just impress people.
Yeah. Just, and don't lean into your feminine energy only because you want to find a partner.
100%. Like, for me, because I've definitely been caught up in the whole, like, oh, I need to maybe talk a bit higher pitch yeah. and maybe be a bit soft, because I am mm-hmm. a very, like, when I'm somewhere, you know I'm there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm loud. I have
you
a deep
voice. You have a distinctive
voice. Exactly. I have a very distinctive, deep voice. You and do. I often get these comments on, like, my YouTube channel, like, mm-hmm. did you used to be a man? Like, why is your voice so deep? And it's just like, my voice is deep. You love it or you hate it. I love it. But the thing is, in having a deep voice is seen as, that's a bit masculine. So, like, should I talk a pitch higher? Should I try to be, and I'm very tall, I'm big. Like, when I'm about, I'm about. Like, mm-hmm. you see me, I'm there. So it's like, do I need to make myself smaller because I'm so big? Do
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk quieter, talk a bit more high pitch. Mm-hmm. Emphasize my femininity, you know, do my hair a certain way, wear certain colors and certain clothes, wear makeup all the time so mm-hmm. I come across more feminine. No, you know, I'm not going to do it, because it's one, it's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
There are some people who are quote unquote girly girls, you know, and it's the thing that they love. But the way they're given the freedom to do what they love is the same way I should be given the freedom to be comfortable as who I am.
110%. Right? 110%.
And so the issue with, oh, but what if a guy doesn't like me? You don't exist to appeal to all men. Okay? Internalize what I just... You do not have to appeal to all men for your womanhood to be qualified.
Courtney, don't even get me started. Like, when I say... Let's even backpedal in... Like, what you were saying, spot on, about the fact that there are certain things about yourself that may not necessarily be the most feminine thing to do. I remember when I first started, like, weightlifting, I was so scared, because I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to get too, like, muscly and people be intimidated and stuff like that. And then it's kind of like, oh, when you're speaking to guys and you mention, oh, you weightlift, and then it's like the jokes start coming and it's like, yeah, but I can bench more than you, so what now? And I remember there was one time I was wearing like a halter neck top, yeah? And at the time I was really like self-conscious of my arms.
Right.
Because I like gain muscle, and like I gain muscle, but I also gain weight pretty quickly. So like if I'm watching my diet, I'll lose weight. But if I'm not, then Renee, behave. It quick. Got it. So I gain muscle pretty quickly when I'm trying to. And at the time I was doing a lot more like upper body workouts. So I had pretty like, I had some nice biceps. I'm not going to lie. I still do, but then it's looking really cute. Nice. And I remember a guy was just like to me like, oh, Renee, I can tell that like, you work out, you know, like you're, you have like broad shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay. Like, go away. Like, okay, like how is that supposed to make me feel? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. And another guy recently said I had broad shoulders, and I was just like, okay. So I have like broad shoulders, but you like you're not living up to what it means to be a masculine guy anyways, because your shoulders are not broad. If my that should be your problem, really.
I'm on the floor.
And yeah, it just got to the point where after a while I would try to like not pick lift as heavy in the gym because I was feeling self-conscious of like being bulky and stuff, but it just wasn't me. Like that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it's like, okay, cool, if your preference is for a girl that doesn't lift heavy or somebody that's a little bit less toned, then my preference is for somebody that is more toned and that can lift heavier than me and that's stronger, because if it's going to make you feel insecure, then, you know, that's my preference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really, really interesting, like the whole dynamic of a lot of people will express a preference, but it's actually a thinly veiled insecurity. So even with a lot of men talking about like, and women as well, but a lot of men talking about, oh, I have a preference for X, Y, Z in a woman, it's often because they feel insecure that they wouldn't be able to contend with a woman that does X, Y, Z or looks like this or sounds like this or whatnot. Their, how they envision their masculinity would be threatened by your form of femininity. And I think like what you were saying about like making, understanding that you don't appeal to all men.
Yeah.
Women need to understand this, and that's and fine.
And men too, because it's, I think men can often be the biggest culprits of this too. You know, when like, if a woman doesn't like your first reach is to then discredit her womanhood.
Oh my
her,
goodness!
I was about to say her womanhood.
I'm screaming.
Her womanhood or her femininity.
Yeah.
By virtue of being, somebody doesn't have to like you by virtue of being the sex that you prefer. Like, that's not your sexual preference. That's not how it works. That's, and I think that we need to get out of this mindset of becoming the ultimate. Like, I often see people position Lori Harvey,
for example,
as the ultimate pinnacle final level of femininity. And it's like, but she's not everybody's preference.
As in,
the same way you could do it with Beyonce, she's not everybody's preference. This. You could do it with whoever you want to. She's not everybody's preference. Or he's not everybody's preference.
That's okay.
And that's perfectly fine. And in fact, that is the truth of life. Not everybody is going to like you. So when you position these frameworks of be more like this, be more like that, be more like this, why? Like, actually, why? But like,
why? Why do you want to be appealing to all people anyway?
I was just about to say, unless you are interested in polygamy of the masses, it doesn't matter.
Why?
It actually doesn't matter. And I think that that's where people can often get so wound up in their head, thinking that they exist to please everybody. Mm-hmm, and then you start to overthink everything you do, like going to the gym or simply speaking in your normal tone of voice.
100, 100.
That's so dangerous, because that leads to insecurity and that leads to feeling ostracized and unaccepted by people you do sometimes seek acceptance from. And I think one of the biggest things we always try to emphasize on the podcast is stop seeking for acceptance in places where you're not appreciated. It's okay.
It's fine.
Go and find your people.
Because Lord knows when you do find the people that actually like you, it's really sweet.
It's beautiful.
They really, really appreciate you because you fit exactly what they want. And this is not to say that you will be perfect, but there's no, oh, I, you know, I'm into her because of like one thing, or like she just made it, I made an exception for her or whatnot. go and find somebody that genuinely listen, it sounds so cliche and moist, but it's something that we have to reiterate, because hell, there's so many of us that are trying to be palatable to the masses. Definitely. And it doesn't work. Things that are palatable to the masses taste disgusting and bland and boring and nasty.
Yeah.
In the same way that...
And generic. That's
listen,
it.
Go and be... Courtney's going to laugh at this example. Go and be somebody's lemon pepper chicken.
Yeah, she's saying that. She's saying that because I hate it. Go on.
Go and be somebody's lemon pepper chicken. Mm-hmm. Or whatever flavor you like.
Yeah.
There are some people that love barbecue sauce. There are some people that like mayonnaise.
Yeah,
me. If your mayonnaise... Go and find your mayonnaise lover. They will appreciate it. Talk on it, Courtney.
That's it. No, it's
how does mayonnaise make you feel as a condiment?
Don't ever try to embarrass me. <like that. laughs> Mayonnaise is fantastic.
No, I love mayonnaise too. Over all of those battery acid condiments out here, like barbecue sauce and ketchup. I know somebody's out there.
And sour sauce.
Wait.
Yeah, that is. Even looks like battery acid. Oh. Why does the sauce glow in the dark? Tell me. Neon sauce.
It's the...
Anyway, that's another episode.
That's another episode.
But I genuinely agree with everything you just said. I think it's so important to just realize that you've been given your uniqueness for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And just because people, you know, turn on a camera or they do seminars and they write books about what it means to be feminine... Whilst femininity has its place, in my opinion, it's an expression of the divine. And yeah. It's something that isn't how you behave as such, but rather just an essence you encompass in your character and the way you carry yourself. Compassion can be seen as something as feminine. Patience can be seen as something that's feminine, but it's characters that we should all be able to possess. The same with being nurturing should be something that comes for men and for women as well. And so I think that there we need to be careful when we navigate these people that teach us, or when we navigate around the things that teach us who to be.
Yeah,
because in essence we've all been made very different. We've all been made unique for a reason, and when we force ourselves to become generic in, you know, the aim to appeal to everybody, we lose the true beauty of humanity. And it's not good. It's not a good way to live. And I think it also leads to extremes like hypermasculinity, hyperfemininity, and and both of those are very, very toxic. When you force yourself to not have a voice because you want to appear timid, or when you force yourself to have a voice that's abusive because you want to seem strong.
Yeah.
That robs the earth of its beauty. Stop doing that. Stop it. No, it really makes me sad when people feel as though to be something that they don't.
Yeah.
You know, when guys feel as though they can't be weak and they can't be vulnerable, or when girls feel as though, you know, they can't provide for themselves or they can't be assertive and lead. We're living in a very mad society where people refuse to take their place and really live out their purpose.
Yeah.
Because these arbitrary, completely useless definitions of who you should be exist hanging over your head.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
It's ridiculous.
It's actually, like, if you think about it, it's actually ridiculous.
I mean, live your best life, sis. If you want to go and be dainty and cute and wear your pink frills, do it. If that's who you are.
Exactly.
And if you want to go and rock your tracksuit and lower the tone of your voice, and if you're out there scared that, oh, people won't see me as feminine enough, you are a woman.
Mm-hmm,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to be both, because we are complex individuals, because Courtney, you just described me on two different days.
100%.
And that is A-okay. Some days you'll catch me in my Nike tracksuit and you'll be asking, is that a guy? And that's cool. I'm good. I'm Gucci.
But a guy.
I'm Gucci.
100%.
Be out here wigless in that tracksuit, sis. And that's cool. I'll have my cap on.
100%.
That's not a problem. And then the other days, you'll see me face beat, you know, wearing that dress with the heels. Yeah. Actually, not the heels there. I'm not a heels fan, but if I have to wear it, I'll wear it. But, you know, every now and again, I'll dress up. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, those two conceptions of yourself can exist within you and your femininity.
100%.
So don't always feel like you have to be one thing as well. Like, you can do up both, man.
You can.
Call that versatility where I'm from.
Be multifaceted, queen.
Multifaceted. Okay, I feel like that's your next buzzword. That's definitely your next buzzword.
I got it from you.
Oh my god. I'm blushing.
Screaming. Wow. But in essence, everything about the Two My Sisters podcast is just to encourage you to be the incredible, amazing, phenomenal woman that you were created to be. And on that note, after 22 episodes, we are at the end of season one.
Oh, guys!
The season finale! Woo! It's crazy. But we are super thankful for the thousands, the tens of thousands
crazy.
Of you that have rocked with us through season one.
Why?
It brings a tear to my eye.
Oh, can we stop it? You're not crying, I am.
Honestly, sisters from all over the world growing and glowing together. And honestly, like we've said in previous episodes, we're not here to tell you what to think. We're just here to get you to think, right? Yeah, and to have honest, transparent conversations with you that can hopefully encourage you to have honest and transparent conversations with the sisters around you.
100%.
So that is the end of season one. We will be back in 2 weeks. Don't worry, we're not going for long. We will be back in 2 weeks. But if you want to help decide what conversations we talk about in season two of the Two My Sisters podcast, You need to be signed up to the Two My Sisters mailing list.
You know that's right.
First of all, we are super thankful for our Instagram community, the online sisterhood.
We love you.
Yeah, we really do. We are so thankful for all the suggestions that you have sent through. And because we've had so many suggestions, we need help shortlisting some of these episodes. So please hop onto the mailing list, because we're going to be sending out an email to the sisters on email to ask them to pick the final episodes of season two. So if you haven't done that already, head over to the @ToMySisterhood Instagram to join the tribe.
We love to see it. And we want to give a quick shout out to everybody that's been rocking with us. We see all of the messages on social media, so please keep them coming. Please enter our DMs and please keep adding us and sharing with your friends. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and any other platform that you are listening to at TMS on. We really appreciate all the support, and we want to make sure that with the launch of season two, we can reach as many sisters across the globe as possible. So be sure to do that. Leave a review, send us some DMs. We read everything.
We do.
We literally read everything. And we love you all so, so much from South Africa, Croatia, Israel, Ghana, the UK, the USA. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all of you sisters. The family is growing and we can't wait for it to grow some more.
Yeah, we can't. So let us know your thoughts on femininity. Talk to us. What do you feel about the feminine energy gurus? And you can do this by adding us on Instagram @ToMySisterhood. But you can also come and say hi to us personally, like Renee just said. You can come and say hi to me @CDBoating or to Renee @ReneeKapuku.
And of course, say hi to us on Twitter, guys. Come on, use the #ToMySisters. We're there. And as Courtney said, join the sisterhood by signing up for our weekly newsletter so we can grow and glow together. Guys, it's been a hell of a season.
It has.
We will talk to you very soon. And remember, keep glowing and growing.
Love you guys.
Love you.
1 deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.